Your Bibles open to the first letter Peter wrote, chapter 1 and verse 14 onwards. Peter's first epistle, chapter 1, verse 14 and following. As obedient children, not being conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your conduct, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Please be seated. There are three clear statements given in verses 14 to 16. One statement in each verse. And these are, in verse 14, the obvious reason for personal holiness. In verse 15, the standard for personal holiness. And in verse 16, the foundation for personal holiness. As in the previous sections, what is said in these verses 14 to 16, what is said is based on and because of God's salvation. Peter had been engaged his readers in speaking about God's great salvation from verse 1 onwards. The when, the why, the how, and what God did for us when He chose us before the worlds began forms the basis for personal holiness. Because we are saved and because God guards us to the end, we are secure in reaching heaven and being in our Father's house with Jesus forever. That is assured for us, that God has adopted us to be His children, then spontaneously causes us to be obedient to Him as our Father. Personal holiness is a natural outcome of belonging to God. As we proceed with the Holy Spirit's call through Peter in this passage that we be holy as God is holy, let's be encouraged that it is possible, not impossible, to be holy. How holy? As God is holy. Turn your attention to the opening words of verse 14. The obvious reason is seen there for personal holiness. The opening words are, as obedient children. That's the obvious motivation or reason for personal holiness. We are children of God. Why? Because God took the initiative and He adopted us into His family. In Christ, we have become children of God. We need to be convinced about this. Each of us need to be convinced, I am a child of God. It has to get into our very being. I'm a child of God. I don't just belong to God, I'm His child. He's my Father. By virtue of being chosen by God from before the foundations of the earth to be His children, we do what children do. I'm a child of God, so I behave as his child. And how do children behave? We listen. We obey our father. Because we know he loves us. And he's the best. And we love him in return. As obedient children, the call to holiness is as obedient children. We need to think logically and properly about personal holiness. God is our father, and for a father-child relationship to work, the child needs to listen to and obey the father. A disobedient child makes the relationship difficult, and we all know it. So the exhortation in verse 14 is to be obedient children, as obedient children. I hope you don't think that's too simple. That's what God says. As obedient children, God knows that we have a tendency not to be obedient. And so this instruction is given by a wise father. Just be obedient. Personal holiness is being obedient children. Disobedience is not normal, or the expected behavior of children. Obedience is. And from the time your child is born, if you have a child, you work on getting the child to tell me, obey. And from the time you're born again, God is trying to get you to obey. Obedience is and forms the obvious basis for being holy. No child is perfectly obedient, and the father is responsible. The father is responsible. With the mother's help and full support to train their child to learn obedience. Obedience is learned as well as caught. If parents don't live submissively to each other, there's always, you know, barking and biting each other. Is it in Galatians where it says, be careful that you don't devour one another? Obedience is caught, but it is also learned. And we need to train up a child in obedience. So as obedient children, that's where it begins. Verse 14 goes on to not just give us the motivation for personal holiness, but the means towards personal holiness. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. As we stay with verse 14, as obedient children, he goes on to say, gives us specific means in verse 14, that help us to be holy. The command is, do not be conformed. To what? Passions are desires, strong desires. Passions are not just sexual. And if your Bible uses the word lusts, we usually connect the word lust to sex. So these passions are not about sex, it's about any desires that are strong desires. So do not be conformed to the desires. Which desires? Of your former ignorance. Before you were saved, you were ignorant. And we're going to break this down so that we understand in simple terms what the Holy Spirit has written for our benefit. Because it's important to understand how to be holy. So let's go back to the first part of verse 14. God has adopted us to be His obedient children. Amen. Before we became God's children, we did not subscribe to the Bible and its teachings or love the Lord Jesus. That's our former life. In that sense, we formerly lived in ignorance of God and His Word. It's not that we were not intelligent or had no thinking capacity. We knew our maths and geography and science and whatever else, how to use debit, credit cards and mobile phones and all the other stuff. It's not talking about a lack of intelligence. It's saying you were ignorant about God and His Word. Spiritual ignorance, former ignorance, is spiritual ignorance. Not that you were or stupid. No, you may have been the most intelligent, but you didn't know God and you didn't know His Word. So you didn't know His teachings, His will. You were ignorant about God and His Word. You were in spiritual ignorance, former ignorance. So what did you do? How did you live? You lived very intelligently in your own desires. You were very clever in your own ambitions. You were very clever in making your own choices. And maybe your parents added to the cleverness and you made your own life according to your desires. You had your own ambitions together with your parents and family and the rest of society. You didn't live according to God's teachings. To be conformed is to fit into a mold. And here God's word is teaching us that we used to fit into the mold of living in accordance with whatever we wanted. You get it? It doesn't mean that we were like the prodigal son ending up with the pigs. Maybe we were doing quite well. And everyone was happy with us, except God. But you were ignorant about what God wanted. So you happily had your fairy tale to live happily ever after. And if you were not happy, you pretended to be happy. And if the pretense didn't work, you entertained yourself into some kind of happiness. Travel, vacations, good food, eating out, brand names, whatever. We must now, as obedient children, train ourselves in the discipline of not going back there. Do not be conformed to that former life. Are you getting verse 14 into your understanding? Don't be conformed to the old desires you had before you became regenerate Christians. The pull will still be there. Don't be conformed to that old life and old lifestyle. Go back to the definition of holiness. Holiness is not just moral purity. It includes that. But first and foremost, it is being different, separate. Separated from the rest. Not being conformed is holiness. Holiness is to be different, to be changed from conforming to patterns of behavior that do not please God. we sometimes conform because we desire to please people, or we are trapped in the fear of man. After all, we live in families and we live among relatives and friends and colleagues at workplace, and everybody has a lifestyle. And so many have desires of us as well, expectations of us. So either to please them or because we fear man, either we fear hurting them or we fear their disapproval or whatever else, we conform to what is expected of us rather than being holy, different from everything and everybody else. We often conform also because we desire to keep up with the lifestyle of others. I mean, we travel, we are exposed to social media, and we see the bright lights and the colors of what this world is and can offer, and we conform because we want to keep up with the lifestyle of others. The cars, the decorations, the curtains, the smells, the walk and the talk. And Christian fellowship too can invariably influence the choices we make in how to live and the stewardship of our money, time and leisure. The world too is totally capable. Let's not think less of this world's capability. The world too is totally capable of attracting us to live style, to lifestyle choices that indulge our inner desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life. Some scenes intrigue me as I see the bombs falling and huge plumes of fire and smoke in Israel, Tel Aviv, Haifa, and Tehran. And I see cars going by and people going to the coffee shop in those same scenes. And I think we have learned to cope and not allow too much to bother us, because we are conformed to this world. After all, we say life has to go on. Who has the time to bother about the bombs falling around us? Just hope, maybe sometimes pray to the God we don't really know and submit to, that we will be safe. As long as I'm safe, it's okay. The following references warn us. Turn to James chapter 4 and see what James says in the first four verses of his chapter 4. He says, what causes? See, what causes? Don't look at the quarrel, but see the cause of your quarrels, and what causes fights, conflicts among you. Is it not this, your desires, see, your desires that are at war, where? Inside you, not in the other person. you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You say, I don't murder, but anger is murder, right? You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. To spend it on your own, again, what is the word? Desires. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? There's no gray in the Bible. It's just black and white. If you're too social with the world, you are really too hostile toward God. After all, you have to be friendly, right? The Bible says, okay, then after all, you have to be hostile to God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world, even wishes to be. Social media, social, How can you live without social media? You could, actually. Just try. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Makes himself. By choice. So the more social you are, the more you are an enemy of God. Writing in his first letter, John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, categorically, again no gray, no dithering, no maybes, but very clear, do not. Verse 15 onwards of 1 John 2. Do not love the world generally, but then specifically the things in the world. Now think of anything in the world, everything in the world, don't love. You're not to love anything in the world, not even your pen. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all includes all, right? That is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father. All, everything of the world is not from God. Not even a single thing of this world is from God. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So we're back in verse 14, right, of the first chapter of Peter's first letter. We are not to be conformed to the world and its passions, desires. These desires, passions of our past life are of our past life. That's how you were before Christ invaded your life. So what should you do to obey this very clear, simple instruction? As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Well, I thought I should think about it and make a suggestion, a serious suggestion. Take time when you go home to make a list of all the things that motivated you before you met Jesus. All the things that you lived for. Think about the things that you wished for, your bucket list, right? List it down. Actually write it down. Recall the things that made you eager and excited, that made you work hard at pursuing, even if you did not get what you pursued. Verse 14 commands you then to look at that list and not be conformed to all those things. Get specific. There must be an exchange of your past for things that God wants you to desire now. So if you don't make that list, you're living vaguely. God is commanding you to break away from your past life. And it's lifestyle choices. And it's mandatory so that you can be holy. Others forget being blessed by God. You can pray till you become like a bombil. Smelly sukha bombil. The blessing won't come. When you don't do these kind of things in obedience to the clear instruction of God's word. Have you made an exchange? Have you put off and put on? Really? Deliberately, carefully, specifically, practically? It'll hurt you. And it'll hurt people close to you. Because it's a matter of being conformed. Are you getting it? And when you don't conform, people around you will say, why are you so difficult? Use a concordance and study the verses that speak of what pleases God. So, after you make a list of your former lifestyle choices, then use a concordance to look up all the verses that tell you this pleases God, this pleases God, this, and see whether you've got that into your life in a disciplined way. You will know what God wants you to invest your life in as his obedient child. A past ignorance mentioned in verse 14 is not referring to being empty-headed. I've already said something about it. Most of us are intelligent about life and about values. Most of us are quite street smart as well. We live socially clean and moral lives. Because it is scary to be otherwise. We would easily be clubbed with what people call nice people, right? Oh, he's so nice. She is so nice. Before we were saved, we were spiritually ignorant of God and His requirements. We may have read the Bible and even been church people, but we did not know God or obey Him. We lived for ourselves without a clue, and even if we had a clue, we didn't care too much about God's will and purpose for our lives. Now that we are saved, we are no longer ignorant. Why? Because we have eternal life. And you know what eternal life, having eternal life really is? Well, let me ask John to help you. Turn to chapter 15 of his gospel, 17 of his gospel, where he gives us an inside into Jesus' prayer life. In John chapter 17 and verse 3, when Jesus was praying to the Father, he said, and this is eternal life. What is eternal life? You only think of, you live forever with Jesus, right? Or you'll think, I have forgiveness of sins, I'm born again, I'm saved. No, no, no. Jesus says, this is eternal life. Look in the word. What is it? That they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What does it mean to have eternal life? Since you have eternal life, you know God. You are no longer ignorant. Are you getting it? You know God. And the first thing you know about God is He's different. He's holy. Turn to John's first letter and get some more help from the Apostle John, who of course wrote under the control of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 5 and verse 20, again he says, and we know. See, we know, we are not ignorant, that the Son of God has come. Not only do we know that the Son of God has come, look at the text, and it says, and given us what? Akal. He's given us understanding. See, I'm no longer ignorant, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So stop being the I don't know kind of believer. Oh, I didn't know. I don't know. If you are born again, you know God. And he has given you understanding to know him. And his character and his will. Grow in wisdom, knowledge and the fear of God. Be obedient Christian by not conforming to your old desires. Now, as we move on in verse 15, we don't only see the obvious reason for personal holiness. God gives us in verse 15 the standard for personal holiness. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. So first of all, in verse 15, let's look at the standard for personal holiness. We move to the standard for personal holiness is God's holiness. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy. The Bible defines sin as falling short of the glory of God, which is, what is the glory of God? His utter holiness. We do not meet that standard. We fall short of his holiness, his glory. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We aspire to be like famous icons, spiritual icons, heroes, or our favorite pastors and elders. But these are not the standard for personal holiness that God desires of us. Nor do we do ourselves any favor by comparing ourselves with the way others may or may not be holy. I wish I was like him or her. I wish I was not like him or her. So you don't do yourself a favor by comparing yourselves with others who may or may not be holy. We must not measure holiness by the many activities as we serve the Lord and his church, because that can be a matter of big hypocrisy. Holiness is character, not personality. What makes up character? Character is made up of attitudes, inner and secret thoughts, which are not obvious. Inner and secret thoughts, motives, imaginations of the heart, intentions that are hidden. And everything that is hidden in the secret closet of your lives, all these must be transformed to please God. That is why consistent and regular intake of the Bible, God's Word, is vitally important, because look at what The Bible says about its power to change the inside of you. The things that I just mentioned, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, turn there and take note of how the sword, which is the living word of God, is described here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. What does it do? It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Verse 12, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed. Naked and exposed. Everything to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Outward behavior can be molded by what society wants to see in and from us. Moral behavior can be learned as we imbibe other people's behavior patterns. You know, we are all like monkeys or parrots. We can imbibe, imitate. So moral behavior can be learned and imitated as we see others and pick up skills of good behavior. Only through becoming God's adopted children can we have our inner nature changed. We become new creations who are obedient from the heart to obey God and His word and become holy as God is holy. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin, conformed to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. We've just been thinking from verse 15 about the standard for personal holiness, right? From the heart you have become obedient to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, you've been set free from being conformed to sin and sinful patterns, you have become slaves. You are not conformed to righteousness. So pursuing what it teaches us in verse 15, the rest of verse 15 says, in all your conduct, all of it, your conduct. The most important aspect of God's holiness, God is holy because He is completely other. God's holiness is His complete otherness. You can't compare Him with anything that exists. He's not like anything that exists. He is completely separated from everything else. He is different and distinct. And the command to be holy is for us to be like God in His holiness. Separate, different, distinct from the ways of the world and the people of this world in attitudes, goals, choices and lifestyle. See, holiness is not what you think it is. It is what God is. God is distinctly different. And you, as obedient children, adopted into His family, become like Him. Distinctly different from everything that is in the world. And it'll be seen in your goals, in your attitudes, in your lifestyle choices. The word behavior, conduct, in verse 15. Some translations have the word conversation. implies a total inversion. What does that mean? Your conduct has to be turned inside out, upside down. In all your conduct, be holy. Totally inside out, upside down. Your life has to be radically transformed. Radically. And you're not letting it happen. You have some reservations. And your reservation comes from wrong thinking, which leads you to wrong definition, and wrong understanding of what is real holiness. What is it to really be an obedient child of a holy God? Deepak, yesterday I got a call from a lady who's been studying the Bible like nobody else I know in the whole world. And she said, Chris, you know, I'm really thinking of getting baptized. So we joked around about that because we're good friends. And I said, what about your husband? What does he say? She said, my husband? My husband says, are you ready? Because you will have to be totally changed. And he's a Hindu telling her that. And they're in their 60s, by the way. So then I told her, you've got it all wrong anyways. She said, what do you mean? Don't I have to be changed? I said, well, you can try to change yourself, but I'm looking for God to change you. And if God doesn't change you, I don't care about the change that you will make for yourself. Because it's very hard to become different. God has to make you that. And He does that by making you His adopted child. Then you have His seed in you. God's seed is in me. His nature is in me. Are you getting it? Being obedient children means a complete turnaround from our past ways of thinking, ambitions, and goals. We have a brand new way of living, and it begins with our thinking. And that's exactly what Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 is about. Do not be conformed. Are you with me in Romans chapter 12 verse 2? Don't guess these verses. Look at them. Don't just memorize it, but digest them in your minds. Do not be conformed with this world, but be ye transformed where? By the renewing of your thinking, minds, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It has to be a change of thinking patterns that thinks the will of God spontaneously. You don't search for the will of God. You have the will of God in your thinking. Are you getting it? As our minds are changed and we discern the will of God clearly, why? Because we have the seed of God in us. We are a new creation. We will put to death what is earthly and put on the new life. And for that, I want us to read the whole of Colossians chapter 3. Are you ready for it? Look at Colossians chapter 3. It starts with that conditional, if then, verse 1. You have been raised with Christ. You are really regenerated. You are really born again. You're really saved. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where is your focus? 24/7? Where is your focus? No excuses. I mean, you belong to Christ. Seek those things where Christ is. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For why? Look at it. While the first two verses seem to indicate your seeking and your setting your mind, verse 3 says what? For you have died. Your old has died. Really? See, do not be conformed to the old life, because you are dead. That old is dead. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. So every time that old lifestyle, ambition, desire comes up, kill it. When? Immediately. Don't play around with it. Don't say, come, sit down, have a cup of tea. Huh? Don't be social with your old life. Put to death, therefore, verse 5, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked. That's how you were. And that's what Peter was talking about in verse 15 of his first chapter. When you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its habits, with its practices, and put on the new self. See, you don't just put them off. How many things to put off from verse 5 to verse 9? Make a list and see whether these are your old lifestyle choices, ambitions, habits, practices. And now you have put on the new self, verse 10, and see the new self is being renewed. Present continuous tense, progressively growing in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, and this is a misquoted verse, right? Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Where is there no gender difference, racial difference? It's in this being new. New creations. Everyone in Christ, whether you are racially different or gender different, you all have the same new life. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones. You are elected as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You already are chosen. You already are holy. You already are beloved. Holy in what sense? God has set you apart. When he chose you, he took you out of this world, out of your sin, out of your sinful habits, out of your old life, and made you new. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. That's kept separate there. Thankfulness. How much we grumble, how much we complain. When it rains, when it's sunshine, it's so hot. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What a terrific chapter, Colossians chapter 3. So we come full circle back to 1 Peter, where the Holy Spirit reiterates that holy living is based on the death of Christ on our behalf. We can therefore arm ourselves in the same way of thinking to die to sin and live for the will of God. When I say full circle back to 1 Peter, it's chapter 4 now. Turn there. In chapter 4, Peter has this to say in the first four verses. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, died for you. See, arm yourselves. Put on the whole armor of God. Equip yourselves with the same way of thinking. It is in your thinking. Think sensibly. Think biblically. What has happened to you? For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. See, you cannot be conformed to sin because you have died to sin. Just as Christ died for your sins, you are now dead to sin. Alive to do the will of God. Verse 3, for the time that is past, your past life was sufficient for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. Haven't you had enough of that old life? Why you still want to indulge? Didn't you have enough of living your own way? And we're not talking about just in wickedness and in orgies. You lived for yourself. Haven't you had your fill of that? With respect to this, they are surprised. Look at it. They, who are they? Are surprised. All the people you were part of the party gang, they are surprised when you do not join them. Do you see the text? They are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. They don't like it anymore. Finally, in verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 1, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy, the foundation for personal holiness. As we come to a close, Peter repeats that we are to be holy because God is holy. God's holiness must be our basis, foundation, standard, and reason to be holy. It is easy to become idolatrous about your personal holiness. You can start worshiping at the throne of your own holiness and turn into an arrogant, proud, self-righteous, and difficult to relate person. You become like the Pharisees, useless in pleasing God or helping others in lifting their burdens. Bear one another's burdens. You who think you are spiritual. So don't idolize your personal growth in holiness. Personal holiness must come and can only come through reading and obeying the Bible. Verse 15 says that we are to be holy. Look at it. For it is written. Do you notice that? For it is written, you must be holy as I am holy. You learn from what is written about God's demand that you be holy. And not because somebody tells you to be holy. And you've heard preachers say that and you've read books about it. But the Bible tells you and teaches you not only that you should be holy, but how to be holy. And actually, the Bible cleans you up. Look at John 15:3 and John 17:17, where Jesus tells his disciples, you have already been clean John 15:3, by the words that I have spoken to you. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. It is written, you are not self-inspired to be holy. Oh, I suddenly woke up. It's enough. I want to be holy now. So today I will be holy. From today I will. All the best for failure. So you are not self-inspired to holiness by your own motivations. It is written in the Bible, and what is written? It is the will of God that you be holy as He is holy. And if it is the will of God, just think logically. You're His child, you're His obedient child by adoption, and He wills that you be holy, then what will happen? God's will cannot be thwarted. He will do everything it takes to keep you holy, to make you holy. He'll disturb your life till you are holy. Where does it say it is the will of God? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. 1 Peter is not the only place where it is written that believers are commanded to be holy as God is holy. Look at Leviticus. With all its feasts and festivals and sacrifices and all its rules and regulations, God constantly says, why? Because I am the Lord, your God, and I am holy. Let me give you two samples. Leviticus chapter 11 verse 44, for I am the Lord your God, consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 19 verse 2, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I the Lord your God am holy. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew verse 48 says this, you therefore must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Why did God choose us? In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, it says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now we will not be perfectly holy this side of heaven, but need to be progressively holier each day. And we should take time and be able to measure definite growth in our personal lives. Do you take time to be holy? How do you take time to be holy? First, start by a daily evaluation. Have you been holy today? As you go to bed each day, think, did you live a holy life today? Measure. Seek for growth. The desire our hearts and direction of our lives must be towards more personal holiness. While we are already clothed in the righteousness of Christ, God demands that we be holy as He is holy. Sin must not have dominion over us. And day by day we should be able to have more victory. Each victory will help us some other to win. Romans chapter 6 verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I close with going back to John to hammer home what Peter has told us. In chapter 3 of 1 John, this is what John writes. Chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself. Look at the text. 1 John 3:3. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. For sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. Why did he come? And if you don't stop sinning, then you're contradicting the reason why Jesus came. He came to take away sins. And in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. If you keep on sinning and you can't have victory, it means you're not abiding in him. You're not walking with God. And sin is not just actions, it can be attitude. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Why is it not happening in your life? If you're still living in defeat, read this passage and let it convict you. To let God really transform you. And have effectual conversion. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Do you see these categorical statements? You can't have a bad attitude. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is the one who does not love his brother. And in chapter 5 of the same 1 John, verse 18, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Are you really born of God? Have you handed your life over to Christ? Are you experiencing his life in you? Our Father, we thank you for your glorious salvation, which forms the seed and the basis for us to spontaneously desire and seek to be holy as you are holy. And we bless you, Lord, for making it so simple and within the possibility, so we can be holy as you, Heavenly Father, are holy. And to your praise and glory, we pray that you would be pleased as we live before you in holiness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit rest upon each of you. Amen.